Okay, we return with Mike Ingram, a strategist at BGC Partners, and with the CEO of the Invertrust consultancy. That's a position to be proud of.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody's bowing down to me.
Exactly. Mr. Yes. Dave Harris. Right. Before you were on the beach in Barbados, there's ever been anybody who's that busy writing from a beach.
I wasn't actually writing from the beach. It was thoughts that I'd accumulated during the time that I was sat on a beach, I think.
Yes.
And if you remember, we talked about this last week. We talked about oil and, pardon me, we talked about oil in the global economy. We talked about China, etc., etc. And that went on so far that we never actually got to the conclusions on anything. So we were saying, generally good for the economy if oil prices are low. 2% growth in the UK, well, it's not going to blow the lights out, but it's not exactly coming to a grinding halt. And in the USA and Europe, we think probably exactly the same. Harder for central banks to meet their inflation targets. Situation obviously puts more cash into people's pockets. The energy sector being disproportionate in the indices makes it bad for investors. And I sort of went on from that then to think, well, I've got a cautionary note. Now, many of your listeners or viewers probably may not have heard of the Gini coefficient, and I don't think we'll go too much into economic theory this morning, but Gini coefficient basically is a distribution of income between nations and their peoples. And I've not seen much comment on that during the latest crisis. There's been a little bit, but
I think about 62 people own like 99% of the whole world's wealth or control or
yes.
a statistic
yeah.
like that.
Might be a little bit more after the last week or so.
Yeah,
you could, but yeah, 65 but yeah.
73 Mike's come into the equation now. That's
I think you'd have
is.
To go a long way down before I came hoved into view, but never mind.
But if we agree that lower oil prices are here for the foreseeable future and that they are good for the economy, then lower income earners will get more consumption power, and the losers are going to be the likes of Saudi Arabia. So it's good news for the UK and the West, but the Arabs will not be able to afford to spend the super profits that they've been making. But White Van Man in the UK will be able to afford to take his kids to Legoland, perhaps. So turn that around, and I'm saying that's bad for Burberry, but it's good for Merlin Entertainments. If you were thinking, I'm not sure that you would look at either of those and say that that was a comparison. But what I'm trying to say is White Van Man will have more money to spend. Arabs will probably have less money to spend.
So it's good for the middle classes and the so-called working people now.
Yes, to a point, Zach, until you get to where we are today. And since I've been back from holiday, I've probably spoken to a dozen fund managers in the last week. And what they will tell you is already the Arab nations are starting to take money out of the market because they can't afford...
Yeah.
to pay for their current lifestyle.
Well, they're drawing down on reserves.
And cash
yeah.
flow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And if oil prices stay at that lower level for some time, then that's obviously going to continue. Now, again, we're in danger of getting into economic theory here, but if we assume that, say, they take 5% out of the market, and that's redistributed to White Van Man, that doesn't mean to say that the market's going to drop 5%. Any sort of simplistic look at supply and demand in economics will tell you that will generate a much greater fall in prices within equity markets if the Arab nations do take their money out in that sort of level. Sorry, Mike, you were going to...
No, I mean, it's obviously very complicated, but there's lots of feedback mechanisms. I think you're right. I mean, in principle, you've had something like $2.5, maybe even $3 trillion effectively transferred from oil producers, largely OPEC, Nigeria,
yep.
Russia,
yep.
to the consumer. To some extent, the consumer has saved that. I mean, that's actually more true in America, strangely
yeah.
enough,
yeah.
than it has been in Europe or indeed the UK. The problem is that, you know, a lot of companies reacted to that, and obviously the lower headline inflation that goes along with it, to say, well, we won't give you a pay rise. So really, OPEC has given white van man, the pay rise, yeah, his own company won't get it. And going back to your Gini coefficient, you know, the distribution of wealth, yeah, we've seen this concentration of wealth and liquidity in corporate balance sheets. We've seen that used to fund buybacks and so on and so on. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's just recirculating liquidity and wealth among the same 1% who are already rich.
Yeah.
The 99% is where the global economy growth is going to come from, and that's why it's failing.
If you get, but if you take that theory that I put forward there, yeah, that you are going to see a greater fall in market prices than the simplistic 5%, let's say, that the Arab nations or the richer people may pull out of the market, I think that will be offset in the shorter term by the ECB continuing and increasing the amount of money they print. So you'll still continue to see economic growth in the Western nations. But you've got to be cautious about that, because you can't keep printing money forever. There has to come a day when these monies have to be paid back, unless growth is considered great enough to wipe out that...
Dave, I just want to get into, just finish off with what you actually like in terms of investing.
The world has changed. The world has obviously changed. Whatever you were saying in December, you're probably thinking differently now. I would be looking, if I were an investor with cash today and, you know, you were brave enough to go into the market, global large cap stocks with strong dividend records. I still think there's something to be had from the FTSE 250, although it's down more than the FTSE 100. Mm. And if you look in historically, if the FTSE 250 is down in the first quarter, that's not a very good portent for the rest of the year. But I still think there's something to be had. I would be protecting myself with some quality long short equity funds. And for goodness sake, if you've got something that's showing a loss, don't sit there and think that, oh, yes, it's going to recover quickly. Sell it. Sell it now. Take it on the chin and reinvest. And I think if you do follow that sort of strategy, you, inclusive of dividend income, you could be 7-8% up by the end of the year. If you stick with what you were doing in November and December, I think you could be a further 10% down by the end of the year.
Right, that's a chilling warning there. Dave Harris, CEO for the InvraTrust Consultancy. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks, Ryan.